Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our apparently, our apparently, our apparently.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, everyone. This is Lois with Let's Talk Truth, and we're here to share and gain some insight on a topic that I believe kind of bothers a lot of people, but people don't like to talk about it. And before we get started, let me say this. We're not here to bash the body of Christ in any way, but we are here to invoke some action upon the part of the people who are in the body of Christ. So our topic today is church folk. These are people who are just adamant about being a part of a church. I'm in the church, I'm in the church, I'm in the church. And so our topic is church folks, pimp or prophet. And we're going to just elaborate on that. We're here to discuss the action and the attitude of certain individuals that occupy certain positions in the body of Christ. And are these actions and attitudes, are they winning souls, or are they turning souls away? Are they driving them away from the church? And one other question I want to ask, does one bad apple spoil the whole church? And so we're just asking you to tune in, and we're going to attempt to shed some light on this particular sickening situation that we've just been exposed to and exposed to and exposed to. We have a guest on our show today. We have Shannon, and we have Courtney, and we have Dijon. And we just want y'all to give them a hearty welcome and, just welcome them into your spirit and give everyone a chance to express themselves. And as I say at the top of every show, we're not here to preach to you. But if we're going to arrive at the truth, we have to share Christ. So understand that. We're talking today about church folk. Pimp or prophet. And I know a lot of you think we're going to go a particular way because I know a lot of you are thinking about the different people who scam the church. And one person in particular that's been all over the news is the young whining man who supposedly scammed the church for $8 million. And no doubt he would never have made this news had his family not been of substance, you know, or hadn't been out there. So he probably would have never made the news. But we're not, he's not people of that caliber or that scam the church in that manner is not who we're focusing on. We're focusing on that sister that sits up there every Sunday morning on the front pew with and have more hell in her than the average demon, and, you know, can hallelujah, amen, but still have jealousy and meanness in their heart. Those are the kind of people we want to address today, and we do have them. And not only females, we have men and women who undermine the body of Christ in that manner. So that's what we're going to discuss partially. Then the second half, when we say pimp our prophet, what is a pimp, first of all? A pimp is usually a man who solicits for a prostitute or a brothel and lives off the earnings. So this is a man, normally it's a man, who's taking another person's whatever they're doing to their body, and he's living off of that. Well, I think we have some of the same things going on with our prophets in the body of Christ. So we're going to address that. We have prophets who, and first of all, a prophet is a person that predicts the future. They have this inspirational insight directly from God, and it brings about facts of spiritual truth. But they will only share that with people for a price. And we have them, they call you on the telephone, they send you letters. God told me to tell you this, and if you'll just send me a small donation, any donation, preferably $100. And they have it so made up until they will actually get to people. Because why do they get to people? Because people are desperate for change. People want to see some change. And when they have their heart open and geared to God, and you have someone coming in who professes to be sent by God, then it's easy to hold on to that. But we're going to share some things that's kind of eye-opening and that we need to watch out for. We are Christian. We're a body of Christ, but we're not stupid. So this is what we have to realize. Stop trying to get that quick fix on finances. You know that our finances are under attack. First thing you talk about is look at the economy. And the economy this, and the economy is that. So people prey on that. They prey on our desperation that will allow us to give in to some things like that. So now that we have opened up and our panel know what we're talking about, you're going to let them just jump in wherever they want to jump in and put their powerful insight on this particular subject, church folks, pimp or prophet. Go right ahead.
All right. I'm glad that you came up with a subject like this, because it's something that people don't like to talk about, because we like to paint the church in such a positive light. The problem that we're having in churches, you have more confusion going on in churches than you do in the world. A sinner person can fight and get it over with, but us so-called Christians, we hold grudges. We, you know, we are Christians as long as we're behind the walls of the church. But if we're outside of the walls of the church, anything can go. We have a radio station here. It's a secular station, and they have something called the Mad Minute. And it's where you have to call and you make somebody you know mad, and you know, supposed to be a joke, ha-ha, it's funny. And you never believe how many women and men answer the phone. Praise the Lord, God is good. And then get mad. Baby, it's something totally different. We painted the church as something that's supposed to be without spot or wrinkle. And in actuality, we are all human. We're going to fall short. You're going to slip up in some kind of way, sin. But the problem I'm having, and that most people have in church, is when you profess to be so close to God and so, but you're not making steps to do anything that you learn in church. Like, you're amen to the pastor. Yes, that's right. Hallelujah. You'll shout across them benches and pews. But at the end of the day, have you really ascertained the information and applied it to you, or do you use it as a weapon to point out the flaws and faults in someone else? We seem to have deviated or walked away from rectifying what's wrong with ourselves and turned to, you know, anybody you get that's not in the church, they say, well, Christians, they always judging you, which is true. You know, I'm not saying you're supposed to uphold someone in their sin, but it's not for you to go up and say, you know what, you're lying, all you do is lie. That's how you run folks away, because before you got in the church, you were something. You may not have been a liar, but it was something you weren't right.
Mm-hmm.
So we all want to point out what someone else's flaws are. That's what draws you. That's what pushes people away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pushes people away. Because you think, like, if you're supposed to be in the church, then you're thinking the mind of a sinner. They think, you know, carnally.
Mm-hmm.
If you're supposed to be in the church and you're going to be different than me, how are you acting like me?
Exactly.
So how can you tell me, my mother told me a long time ago, you can't teach that you don't know and you can't lead where you don't go. How are you going to lead me away from something that you're still doing? That doesn't make sense. You know, you have these people who sit in church and all they do is imitate God is good. Every other word is hallelujah. They're shouting in the grocery store, dropping the bread, screaming, rolling on the floor, doing everything else. But at the end of the day, follow Brother Jimmy home or Sister Catherine home or follow them home. Just listen to the conversation as they get in the car. Now, you done shout on that pew, but you, did you see Sister Williams weed? I hate when she wear that thing in the church. She just distracting all the folks in the back. Is that really Christ-like?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a problem with Sister Williams weed, honey, pull her to the side. Sister Williams, let's go weed shopping together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Christ would do.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do that. We don't do anything to that degree. We always want to have something to say about what the next person is doing. And if you turn around and look at your dress, it's dirty and full of spots. But you want to point out, girl, her dress is so dirty, girl. And it's your glasses that need cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put them on top of that greasy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And you think somebody else is dirty, but it's your hair that made your glasses shimmer and shine. And you think you're looking at them, and it's really you.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you totally. And this is what we're, and the reason I chose this subject, because I have a lot of carnal-minded people that come and they want to be a part of the body of Christ. But they're afraid to be a part of the body of Christ because they don't want to be put on the spot. We seem to put people on the spot. We're so holy. We're so righteous. We put everybody on the spot. Have you ever been going to church in the morning time on Sunday morning or whenever the worship time is for you? Have you ever been going to church and you see people on their way to service? Oh, man, they are flooring it. They're going around you going 200 miles an hour. And then they throwing you the finger, cursing you because you're going a little bit too slow. I got to get to church, girl. And they just cussing you all the way to church. But when they get to church, oh, it's Jesus is on the main line type of thing. So this is what we have to, this is what we're faced with. And we're faced with that people are looking at us, and that's absolutely keeping the carnal mind a carnal minded. So this is what we need to say, you know, we need to get to the bottom of this, church folks, pimp or prophet. Brother Courtney?
Well, I feel like that a lot of people will say that the church is really pimping its people out. And sometimes you can understand why, because of the statutes that the church, you know, that the laws allow the church to do a lot of things, you know, like they, you know, no taxes and things like this. And so some, you know, some preachers get into, some pastors get into having a church and a ministry for not the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they take the money and use it.
Mm-hmm.
But some churches don't do that. You know, they get in there because they have a message and they want to talk about it. We as people need to be able to learn to discern from who is trying to pimp us and who is not trying to pimp us.
Mm-hmm.
Because why do we go to church in the first place? We go to worship. Now, are you going to that church and they have five offerings and the church is staying little forever? You know, are you trying to contribute to that, or are you just going because everybody wants to go to that church? So you go to that church, and you know, if they're getting bigger and bigger, it's because they get money. Everybody knows these big churches are not cheap. You know, to be in there, it's not no $100,000 church. And I'm not saying any churches like what I, you know, like Friendship West or something like that. That's not a little church. So it takes money to run it. But we should look at him as their pastor as, oh, he's pimping. He's doing something with the money further in the ministry. He has buses to go pick up the people and things like that. That's what the money should be used for. But you see these less scrupulous pastors, they're driving Bentleys, and everybody in the church is not driving.
They're on the bus line.
On the bus line or something like that. And that's where you get the problem, because there cannot be just one person succeeding in the church.
Mm-hmm.
If your head is doing good, you should be doing good.
Exactly.
If their head is not doing good, you know, what's the use of having five offerings and pastor's aid and all this if the church is still going to stay the same two people
and not ever
grow? If the church is not growing over 20, you've been there 20 years and y'all still in the same building with the same hole in the league. And his legion. That's you're getting pimped.
Yeah.
You're getting pimped for your money. And you are getting pimped, and you want to get pimped because he has got into your mind. And you don't know that you're getting pimped for it.
We have to understand, you're absolutely right. Excuse me. You're absolutely right. And the body of Christ, we're out there and we're out here and we're trying to do a positive work for the kingdom and to further the kingdom. But church folk is standing in the way of a lot of people actually coming to Christ. People would rather do something else on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning or whatever it is you worship. People would rather do something else than to come and take part in the body of Christ. Number one, is just when I ask the question, pimp or prophet, how many of you have had prophets send you letters or call you on the phone or tell you things like, the Lord told me to tell you that this is your season and this is your season to prosper. And in order for you to prosper, you need to give me $100 or your best offering. Yeah. And then your prosperity is going to burst out, you know. Well, are you being a prophet or are you pimping? You're looking to live off of my donation.
Now, the Bible says the workman is worthy of his meat, but it's not meaning that you have to, that I have to. If you have a word to me and you tell me you have a word for me, say it. If you don't, if I got to pay for it, keep it.
That's right, because
if you're going to give it to me, you're going to give it to me free. Now, on down the road, I might get something and give it back to you, or you might find some money, or somebody might pay you to speak,
and you might want to bless that person.
If you say, Courtney, I got this one thing, but you like a 900 number. You might as well get you a 900 number, you know, Miss Cleo or something. If you're gonna do all of that, I mean, because I'm not paying you to tell me something that you came to me and said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all this, it's always, if you notice, it's always all the time.
Well, let me tell
y'all, gonna bless. It's your season or whatever. God, it ain't that many seasons for everybody. So I know it's only four that I know of. It ain't that many seasons around. And God don't never tell nobody, hey, you need to quit doing what you're doing. But the prophets, they want money because they, I'm going to tell you, I see big money. So that's what they know that's going to capture you. But if you say, ooh, I see big trouble because you over there dope dealing, fornicating or something like that,
mm-hmm.
they ain't gonna get paid for
that.
They're not gonna tell you that. They're gonna tell you, oh, the rose colors is coming up good and you're about to get your increase. The increase in pain when God put that wrath down on you because you're still doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm saying. I looked at it. There's nowhere in the Bible are you going to find anything other than to tell you whatever it is I give. I received it freely. I need to give it freely. And this is in any, look at Matthew 10 and 8 and look at it in any Bible you want to look at it. It's saying, freely I have received and freely I need to give. That, because that I'm giving you doesn't belong to me. That is God's word. That's his anointing. That's what he's trying to give. So look at it in any Bible you want to, whether it's the King James Version, New Century Version, the Amplified Bible, it's going to all mean the same. And these are the things that we need to understand when we're listening to people that prophesy to you. And one thing that prophets need to understand, we know that when you come to me prophesying or telling me something about the future, it's something that I already know inside of me. And when you speak it, it's going to connect with what God has already put in me. And that's something that people don't look at. For the simple fact, if you look at something somebody tells you and you don't have a clue what they're talking about, guess what? That person is just talking to you, pulling your leg. Now, we're talking about church folk. I'm telling you, I am sick and tired of church folk. People who always, oh, girl, I gotta go to church. I don't miss church. I just don't miss church. But you can't stand the lady next door, or you cannot stand the person at the grocery store, or you want to curse somebody out the minute they brush up against you. Anything that comes against you in a negative way, you're ready to attack it. So what kind of, you know, where do we get this from? And we're supposed to be church people. So, Brother Courtney. Yeah, because, you know, I was just saying, when we're church people and we got all this church in us, but we don't react to people as if it's in us.
What I really want to understand when you say that is, why are you going to church anyway? What's your whole reason for going to church?
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the biggest, baddest people go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as church is out, they back to their old selves. Then mm-hmm. why are you going?
And
you're wasting time. I would rather see you on the golf course or at home than spending time at church, because you're not learning anything.
You're
just being the same thing over and over and over again. Those people never learn anything. Why are you even doing it then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the questions that pastors don't ask over the congregation, because they fear, oh, my congregation will leave and I won't have money to pay for this church. But this time of year and this time now, we've had too many people coddling us,
mm-hmm.
too many people holding our hands,
mm-hmm.
too many people, you know, oh, I have to be PC. Oh, I have to be. It's gonna be yes and no. It's time for trimming the fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to start calling it like we're seeing it. Hey, you wrong for that.
Yeah.
Pastors, I mean, that might be your biggest tie person, but call, hey, you wrong for what you're doing.
Yeah,
and even Paul said that. That's why he wrote letters and stuff. Because he heard about things happening in the church that didn't need to happen. And he was out and about. He had to write and say, hey, y'all need to change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing all this confusion going on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't set it to be that way. Mm-hmm. And if he said that, then what's the problem with pastors saying that they're scared that they're going to hurt their money base?
Mm-hmm.
And if they hurt their money base, then they won't have anything. So it's all around. We are all around other over. The pastor is, you know, is pimping. He's living off the money. The people are just in the church for the prestige, you know, and they're using the church to get their power base stronger and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they use churches networking and all this kind of stuff when it's supposed to be for worship. Worship, worship, worship. And that is the reason why I don't understand why people go to church only to just be silly after church.
They go for singles Bible study. Mm-hmm. I'm being funny, but they do. The church offers all so many different things for people.
It's not a learning experience. On Sunday, I guarantee, on Sundays, when we go to church, I ought to do this investigation and go and see what everybody is preaching. They're not preaching no conviction. And they're preaching all about beginning the dollar.
Everybody's going to get something. Listen, and
be happy all the time. Nobody is talking about God's wrath anymore, and he's letting it happen.
Well, not even talking about the fact that trials are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come.
They have to.
Like everybody in there, you know, everybody, I understand if when you live in a society like we live in and a time we live in, it is good to hear a positive word. Just somebody say that you're going to be blessed and you can come out of something. But at the same token, you need to hear, why are you in there? Because if you enter a place and God has you there for a reason,
you have to learn
from that. No one's learning from anything. Pastor, everybody's going to be rich. Everybody's not.
Because I guarantee you, the reason why you're not rich because you haven't learned.
The poor is going to be with us always. Everybody's not going to be rich. Everybody wants to go to church and hear about how they're going to get another dollar, another diamond ring, a brand new car, a brand new house. Somebody got to serve the Lord from the project. It's got to be. Everybody's not going to be living in false bones.
Not only that, the reason why it'll be the poor because no one will listen.
Mm-hmm.
No one will listen. See, this is what the prophet is not telling you, the so-called prophet. This is what the teacher or the pastor is not saying, that the reason you have lack of is because you don't know what to do with what you have. Because that is the reason why the main people, we don't have anything, and that's what the people in the authority figures in church won't say, and so they'll say, well, I'm not gonna say anything because I'm gonna keep pimping because I don't have a job or whatever, and I'm the senior pastor or the associate pastor, and this pays my bills. So Sister Jenkins is paying $5,000 a week tithe. I'm not going to say anything to mess her up, even though that she's a madam or whatever. I'm not going to say anything to mess her up.
I'm not going to say nothing about a brothel over the thing.
Yeah, because she's going to get mad, and I'm not going to have that $5,000 tax-free dollars a week in my bank account. So that's what I'm going to do.
And I'm going to say this, you know, my pastor told me one time, she said, you know that church has really made an impact on you. One of two things. You're going to either leave church fighting mad or shouting glad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ain't never left the church fighting mad, and I ain't talking about because you mad at Sister Jenkins and stepping on your toe while she fake shouting. I'm talking about because something the pastor said has hit you and you think, he's throwing at me, somebody that told him something. No. The days of manna are over. And I feel like we're children of Israel and people throwing manna at us. Don't get this quail of manna. I'm going to give enough just to sustain it. But no, nurture my soul because if I'm continuing on the same path that I'm on, I'm doomed. And think about people who have never come to the knowledge of Christ. Everybody heard the word of God, but to feel who God is, everybody has not had the opportunity.
Exactly.
They don't know to call on him. They don't know how to say, if something happens, Lord Jesus, you know, come, Lord Jesus, please bless me. Take me out of here. They just know, man, that's messed up. I don't know what I'm going to do. They don't know to call on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's been made to seem like you know, like you said earlier in the beginning, Lord stated that, you know, the one that had bad apples spoil the bunch. Yes, it's unfortunate, but yes, because you cannot have a bad experience with something and think you're going to go back. That's like going to a restaurant and you cutting into your meat and worms come out and say, oh, I'm so sorry, here's a coupon to come back. Are you going back? No, you're not. Mm-mm. So that's the same thing. I know too many people have been offended by church people, pastors who have come on to these little young girls,
mm-hmm.
drove them out to church, now they don't go to church at all. But now them souls on that man's hand.
Mm-hmm.
I know too many sisters in the church that mess around, sleeping with one of the deacons and deaconesses. They all having themselves a little foreplay gang running on.
And
one of them get busted.
Too.
Yeah.
Have and children. Pastor got extra children in the church and got a wife sitting right there in the church.
Yeah, but you know what? The word is supposed to hit the pastor first.
Exactly.
But I don't understand how come, that's why they'll never hear nobody preaching on fornication.
Adultery.
Adultery? Yeah, none of that. Nobody ever preached on things that hit them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a pastor once who, I feel like, I've always said the best time to chastise a pastor is before they get a church, because you're not going to hardly find a pastor that's going to admit that they're wrong and start preaching a different way.
That's with anybody. That's the human, that's the nature of human condition. I think we all have a truth. The majority of people I know, 90% of the world knows who God is. And everybody who goes to church, look at Sunday. These churches are filled. Pass by some of the parking lots. It's so many folks that got the Dallas Police Department out there fanning the crowd back, getting the traffic out the way. But if you really think about it, if everyone took a little nugget of something Christ-like out of the sermon, it wouldn't be so much drama going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's more drama in the church in a little bit. Like, you wonder, y'all going to church?
Mm-hmm. You know, well, I know one pastor that had asked us forgiveness over and over again for something that they did to some young people that was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Some young girls, teenagers, came to church one Sunday, and they packed the first two pews of that church out, just packed it out. These were little teenage girls. They were so excited to be at church. And they had their little short dresses on and this. Well, the pastor couldn't contain that lust spirit that was on him. So he got up and preached down on the young ladies. He talked about them. All you young girls coming up in here with these short dresses on, and you can see your little undies and your this and that. You need to be ashamed of yourself, and you need to be this. Well, those little girls were so embarrassed. They were trying to pull their little dresses down over their knees, and they were just, you could look in their faces and tell, they were just saying, if I ever get out of here, I'm never coming back.
And they didn't visit.
And they didn't come back. And that pastor was repentant for doing that to them. And, pardon me, and he was saying how if he had that, if he could just do it over again, there is no way he would have embarrassed them with girls like this. He said what he should have done is preach the word like God told him to preach. And then that way, those little girls, God would have been able to tell those little girls what to wear, what not to wear. And I know for a fact that he's telling the truth, because I was in the church when I was one of the head leaders in the church, more holy than righteous. And I had to get to the point where it was a young lady that came to church, and she was a little teenager, and she loved to sing in the choir. Oh, my goodness, she loved to sing in the choir. and she was just get excited, and she'd get so full, and the spirit would hit her every time she came to church. And she would cry, and she would shout. But the only thing I could see was that her dresses were too short. You know, that's all I could see, that her dresses were too short. So I made up in my mind with my holier-than-righteous self that I was going to be the one to tell her. And I was going to do it in all love. I was going to tell her, baby, if you will just drop your dresses just a tad, that I believe the Lord would be so pleased with you. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to help her out soon. I tell you, before the next time we met for service, the Holy Spirit told me to leave that child alone. That because if you say something to her, she'll leave the church and she'll never come back. Whereas if we leave people alone and let them come as they are, then God, as they grow in Christ, God will let them know what to put on and what to pull off. And we won't be guilty of running nobody away. We won't have that we just won't have that on our hands. So these are some things we have to understand, how we're supposed to interact. But we want to be church folk. We want to talk about everybody in the church and what they're not doing, and the young people need to do this, and the young people need to do that. And we got two or three boyfriends along with our husbands, and two or three girlfriends along with our husbands. It's just a conglomeration of mess we're into. But we cannot see that we need to grow ourselves while we're trying to tell somebody else how to come up. We don't let the word do it. All we want to do, we want to do it ourselves, because I know how they should be acting. They should be acting like this.
But you know what? That's one thing that I have a problem with in all aspects. Have realistic expectations. When you came to Christ, you were dirty and nasty, and even good, bad. And God cleaned you up. We can't expect people just because they come to church one time to be cleaned up. You have to have a realistic expectation, because everyone's journey is different. Because everybody else came from a different place and has a different calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we as Christians, we jump to the conclusion so quickly of how things should be. But that's in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to say how God says they should be?
Exactly.
And if we just shut up and let God lead us to say and do what we're supposed to do within the body of Christ, I think things would be a lot better. Because who wants to sit up and make these prejudgments about people and just decide in your little mind what should be said, what should be worn, how things should be done? Because the same token, you have to think about it. People like to hang with people like them. So if I'm a sinner and I come into the church and it's a young girl and who's dressed like me, and I see her up there singing in the choir, now, of course, I won't be up there no day to do. But I'm like, this is a young girl. She's singing in the choir. You know what that means? I can do that, too.
Exactly.
That's how you draw people. But if everybody walking around like a nun, I'm not finna cover my legs. If God gave them to me, I'm going to show them.
Well,
so, that's just ridiculous.
You're absolutely right. But we don't give God his job. We have to do things the way we want to do it. We have to take God's job. See, God needs help. I need to help him do this. I need to help him do that. And before you know it, we have helped send somebody back out in the world who would have, in essence, come to Christ. So this is what we need to do. So this is why I asked the question, does one bad apple spoil the whole bunch? I was in a place this weekend, and I saw so many cliques of people who are supposed to be in the body of Christ. Where does Christ, does They're supposed to be cliques in the church, you know, like in school, you have the little cute girls in one, then the nerds in one, and then the ugly people in one. You know what I'm saying? But they do this. This is like it is in the body of Christ. Now, you go to a church, you see all sorts of cliques in the church. So we have to go and do that, what we're supposed to be doing, and understand that we have to understand we can't be church folk forever.
First of all, if you have these cliques in school, they grow up to be grown-ups and cliques. Again, I'm telling you, the church nowadays is designed
like a school.
Like a school. Listen, if you think about it, walk into any church, it's the same no matter how big or small the church is. All the sisters with the wear a big flat or hat and try to outdress each other.
One way, and all the geeks and nerds one way.
Everybody else who's the kind of like the outcast, you know, the misfit
of
society, they all on one side. Even on the, look, you can be on the deacon board. All the hip flop deacons
sit together.
They sit together, and all the super, I'm just fairly just coming around to just, you know, being right here for Jesus. They're all sitting together. Then you have the old ladies, all them sit together. All the young folks sit together. It's just like it's in every church. It's not like you're going to turn around and say, you know, you have to, it's categories. It's like places that people belong.
But why is that that we're supposed to be the body of Christ?
Because, again, we are supposed to be the body of Christ. That's carnal. That's the flesh. That's not Christ in that. People hang with people that they are like them.
It's classism, or it's where society that we are drawn to our class, and we're too scared to go out of our box. But that also works as a way for the church to pimp you.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you
this. Because the way you're set up.
Now, let me ask you this. The body of Christ, the church, is supposed to be a supernatural entity, a place to worship where supernatural things can happen, miracles can happen, things that can happen that can't be produced by the flesh. So why do we step into it with our flesh and let our flesh operate throughout? Why does the flesh have an opportunity to do all of the running of the body of Christ? That is absolutely. And I can tell you why. No one is born again. And that's what they need to be.
Okay, I was
born
about to say,
again.
I can take a label. Look at her. How do you think they got bootlegs or Wookiee shoes? You know, you can throw a Tommy Hilfiger label on a regular T-shirt you get at the dollar store and sell it. Yo, this is a real original Tommy Hilfiger. Look at these people with the jail buying all these Coach purses. They really Oates purses. They took the R's for Roach and made the C. The stitching all bad and backwards. Everybody, girl, I got this Louis Vuitton. You can stick whatever label you want to stick on something that don't make it like what it is.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying I can go put a Cadillac label on my Hyundai Sonata, but it doesn't make it a Cadillac?
You sure right. That's like people who put them with some little things in front of the car.
Yeah.
With the little girls, the angel wings, they got the little emblem on the top.
Uh-huh.
Oh, all them cars had them. Now, you saw somebody come down here with a big Compass or a Regal or a Nova. Remember them old cars? They had them big old. What does that do? Let's not make your car what that car
Mercedes
came for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a Mercedes. They done took the Mercedes symbol off the car and put around necklaces back in my day. Who does that? Does that mean you're a rich man because you got that faded Mercedes symbol around your neck? You don't put clear finger in that pocket to hold it together?
But the thing that we have to understand is that we, as a people that go to church, actually look for the pimping. We actually want that. Because if you didn't want it, You wouldn't be there. And it's not hidden.
Mm-hmm.
It's in plain view.
Yes, it is.
But you want it because you want the prestige. You want to be there.
If I want to be there,
I'm going to suffer the consequences. For instance, if I go to a handgun training class, I want to be there, and they're saying, okay, it's in Phoenix, Arizona, in the summertime. I'm going to endure that 100-degree weather.
That's right.
To be there. You know, if it's something that I want to do. Look at the people who stand in line for Jordan, the shoes. They stand in line for 3, 4, 5 hours before the store opens.
But people are not going to stand in line that long
or
to go to church.
Depend on who was there. Or look at how people stand in line for movies. Look at standing in line for movies. You'll endure the pain for iPhones and everything like that. Same way they'll endure, well, I know that I'm getting pimped out of this because I can't even talk to the pastor on one-on-one. I can't do this, and I have to pay for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll deal with that. I'll deal with people that I know that are screwing me over just because I like the look and everybody goes to this church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the superstars, so I can rub elbows. This is a place where I can rub elbows with the stars and
hobnob
and hobnob and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's to say? Well, I'll give $20 or $1,000 a month. You know, that's small change to people.
But you know, I understand. And as we're talking today, for those of you that's just tuning in, we're talking about church folk, pimp or prophet. Now, let me say, when we're talking about church folk, we have a judgmental attitude on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me of the lady who was just adamant about her neighbor. Oh, my God, she talked about her neighbor everywhere because at that time, the neighbors would hang their clothes on the line. They would wash and hang them on the line to dry. And the lady was saying, oh, my God, Sister Jenkins needs to take those clothes down. They are just absolutely filthy. She never cleans those clothes. Every time she hangs them out there, they're dirty. Every time. And I get so tired of looking at all that unclean wash. What kind of detergent is she using? Oh, my God, everything she does is unclean. One day, her friend was over there and just happened to be standing by the window as she was ranting and raving about the lady's wash. And her friend just kind of blew her breath on the window like that and took a good tissue and washed it, wiped one of the window panes. And when she did, such crud came off that window. She looked out there. She said, say, Mabel, that dirt that you see on those clothes, that's not on that lady's clothes. That's on your window. Said, look where I wash it. Said, that lady's wash is just as pretty and clean and white, but your windows need washing. So this is what some of our church folk need, somebody to come in and show them that they need to wash their windows.
Yeah, that would be me.
And when they tell them, you have to tell people in love, not throwing at them, not being exactly as they are, but you got to come clean with it. Tonight we have 10 minutes left, so I'm going to share something with you. We have had two types of scams that we're talking about in the body of Christ. Our church folk who scam and take advantage of people trying to come to church, and big people who are from other places who take advantage and take your money and use the church to take your money. And we have it everywhere. I was taken advantage of many, many years ago because of my innocence. And I was, just didn't know to look for the right thing, but I was taken advantage of by people who was pretending they wanted to bless my church financially. So this is what I gained from that. Pastors should never relinquish their pulpit, and this is four steps I'm going to give you. Pastors, preachers, teachers, whatever, should never relinquish their pulpit to give anybody time to discuss a financial scheme with your people, with your congregation. That's number one. Number two, we need to apply a healthy, notice I said healthy, bit of skepticism. In other words, ask questions. If you want to give me money, I should not have to give you money for you to give me money. So that's you have to determine that. Then the third thing is, don't be impressed by who's involved in that money scam. You know, it could be somebody that's very big and they're just using their name to get you suckered in. So don't be impressed by that. And also, check your motives. Your motive. Check your heart for that greed that's in your heart. Mostly people can be taken advantage of financially because what? You want fast money. You're looking for fast money. So these are the things you have to stop and pay attention to. We don't want to wait for God to bless us like he said. We don't want to wait for that. If he says, give and I'll give back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, we have to wait for our timing. We don't want to do that, so we start looking for fast money. Let me look for a scheme. So the devil knows that this is a scheme you'll buy into. And before you know it, he has drained you dry. He has taken all the money that you have. And another thing, if some prophet of God tells you that in order for God to bless you, you've got to give them money, run as fast as you can. Because I promise you, God will let you know who you need to give to, when you need to give it, and how you need to give it. But a prophet that says, I'm going to tell you how to get out of that financial hole you're in, you'll send me $13.95. Make sure it's $13.95, because that 95 cents is what's going to really destroy the yoke. That's just a scam. And we need to stop being involved in it. We need to stop allowing ourselves to be taken advantage of. Because if we don't, we're never going to prosper. Never going to prosper. So we have to, if once we get into the body of Christ, make it up in your mind you want to know God and have a personal relationship with God and all of that other stuff. If you don't have the personal relationship, don't work on somebody else's personal relationship. You need your own personal relationship.
Listen, if a prophet or evangelist is your job in the church, a prophet is a person who tells the future, which means delivering good news or a message from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Something that God himself has decreed, and
mm-hmm.
you are just issuing it. 9 times out of 10, God has already told that person he used the prophet for confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be like me going out to eat, paying for the food, and paying them. Let me give you your check every week because I came here and ate. Let me pay you for doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not paying you for doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my job. If you know, God don't tempt anybody. They'll be like, okay, you know what? Young boy getting folks up every morning, so I'm going to have to go and get this little donation right quick. God ain't never said that. So if you're going to do your job or you're not.
That is like I said at the beginning, 900 number thing. And also how they say, on the news or whatever, this shocking thing could kill you. Details at 11. If it's something for me to know, I need to know right now, because
why
I'm not going to wait till 11 yeah,
like
to find out that
family nervous.
Yes, that, you know, only black men can get. Oh, Lord, so I'm falling out. That's the thing. That's how I see that the same way as Prophet saying, I got something for you, but, you know, you need to, you know, come up with some dough for me to tell you. Then you keep it, because I'm going to go to a free Prophet. You know,
okay,
profit
that's
free.
You go get
I'm going to profitfree.com and I'm going to get talk to a free profit. Creditkarma.com,
okay.
Not, you know, free credit report, but they're going to charge you. I'm going somewhere they ain't charging me, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm already poor. I'm looking for the blessing. I'm
so
how
you
going to
take my $13.95? You know, financially, I'm struggling.
Exactly.
That's the, everything God does is decent and in order.
Yeah,
and how out of order is that? And I'll
give up your house note for me to tell you. Oh, yeah, God said you can get $10. I thought, hey, you $900?
Okay. Listen,
I'm fixing to put my...
And really, that's begging. That's to me, that means you are a void of Christ. Because
yeah,
God ain't never had to ask nobody for nothing. God lays things on your heart and say, hey, everybody's had that moment where you like, I ain't giving them nothing. I'm going to go on doing it. Let me go on give me the Lord and I... Yeah, let me just... I have an urge I have to go and take care of.
Y'all are absolutely right. But that just lets you know, church folks, are they pimps or are they prophets? Are they pimps or prophets? So what do you call them? And they would be offended if you started calling them pimps. They would be so offended, but that's what pimps do. Pimps live off of somebody else's
income. I've never made a good one, what you call it, a street walk. I'd have never made it. Because I'm not going to do all the work and give you no money. I just can't have that. And you've been telling me there's something God have for me. I got to turn around and pay you for it. Baby, listen, honey, they say men should give up your bosom, not this woman. Because I cannot, I mean, that's just, to me, it's cheapening the body of Christ.
Yes, it makes the body.
And anyone who is not strong in the Lord can't bounce back from that. They're going to be like, girl, I told you already, it's a standing joke now. They talk about how everybody take up bills and funds and all this for the church. Church ain't built nothing on it. It's still falling apart. You got a stick holding one side of the church up. You know, Sister Williams got to stand there up against that stick so it won't fall down on them cheering there in the daycare room. And then I converted a little utility closet to that. It's the building fund.
And
it's
high, ain't no air conditioning.
Yeah, 18 million fans, everybody.
Why your kid keep on losing weight when he go to church, you know what I'm saying? You got a little fat, plump kid, and then they get, because they sit in that utility room.
Are your arms strong? Where you fanning? Are your arms strong? Where you fanning? Because the church has been depicted as a money-hungry, sexually energized machine. Everybody thinks if you're in the church, oh man, church girls are free. And every girl thinks them church boys be free.
Mm-hmm.
And all the church want is money. And we're just feeding right into
exactly
the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how dare we? I mean, how dare we? Because at the same time, my mama told me, you know, when you leave out this house, yes, your name is Shannon, but you are a representation of me. And I don't like looking bad, so you better get it together. Mm-hmm. Same thing God is going to tell us. When you are standing up here talking about you are a Christian, you are a representation of me. And I'm not finna look bad. Why do you think some of these folks are dropping dead in the church? You know, play the
song. That's horrible.
It is.
That is so horrible. So we just got to get it together. Church folk. Are we going to be a church folk? Or are we going to be a pimp? Or are we going to be a prophet? If we're going to be pimping, we got to get out the body of Christ.
Okay.
We can't do that. And if we're going to be a prophet, just do what the Lord say and stop trying to charge people to be there. And people get so holy. I was just sitting out under a mulberry bush, and you came floating across my face. And when you floated across there, the Lord said to tell you something so powerful. But what I need you to do is make sure, mail me your best offer. Start like at $100 on up. So this is what we need to understand. Don't be a church folk, y'all. And I tell you, that just like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not trying to bash the body of Christ. But I just feel like we need to stop doing stuff that makes the body of Christ look bad. So this is what we have to do. Listen, I have enjoyed every bit of
of time we spend here today, and I want you all to know that this is Let's Talk Truth. You can write me, email me at Let's Talk Truth 333 at yahoo.com. And this is Lois Bullock, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night and be blessed.
Good night.